start with announcements.
We'd like to start the meeting with a land acknowledgement. We, the San Francisco Entertainment Commission, acknowledge that we are on the unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytush Ohlone, who are the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula. As the indigenous stewards of this land, in accordance with their traditions, the Ramaytush Ohlone have never ceded, lost, nor forgotten their responsibilities as the caretakers of this place, as well as for all peoples who reside in their traditional territory. As guests, we recognize that we benefit from living and working on their traditional homeland. We wish to pay our respects by acknowledging the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytush community and by affirming their sovereign rights as First Peoples. This meeting is being held in hybrid format, with the meeting occurring in City Hall, Room 416, broadcast live on SFGov-TV and available to view on Zoom or listen to by calling 1-669-900-6833 using meeting ID 834-9716-4469. We welcome the public's participation during public comment periods. There will be an opportunity for general public comment at the beginning of the meeting, and there will be an opportunity to comment on each discussion or action item on the agenda. Each comment is limited to 3 minutes. For those attending remotely, the commissioner will hear up to 20 minutes of remote public comment total for each agenda item. Because of the 20-minute time limit, it is possible that not every person in the queue will have an opportunity to provide remote public comment. Remote public comment from people who have received an accommodation due to disability will not count towards the 20-minute limit. Public comment will be taken both in person and remotely by video or call-in. For each item, the commission will take public comment first from people attending the meeting in person and then from people attending the meeting remotely. For those attending in person, please fill out a speaker card located at the side table or podium. Come up to the podium during public comment, state your name, any affiliations, and then your comment. You have 3 minutes. Once finished, please hand your speaker card to the commission staff behind the podium. If using Zoom platform to speak, select the raise hand option when it's time for public comment. If calling by phone, dial *9 to be added to the speaker line when your item of interest comes up. When you are asked to speak, you unmute yourself by hitting *6. Please call from a quiet location, speak clearly and slowly, and turn down your television or radio. If you are also viewing the meeting on SFGov-TV, be sure to mute it before speaking during public comment. Alternatively, while we recommend that you use Zoom audio or telephone for public comment, you may submit a written public comment through the chat function on Zoom. Please note that commissioners and staff are not allowed to respond to comments or questions during public comment. Thank you to SFGov-TV and Media Services for sharing this meeting with the public.
All right, thank you. Let's do a roll call.
President Blyman.
Here.
Vice President Wong.
Here.
Commissioner Davis.
Here.
Commissioner Perez.
Here.
Commissioner Poggio.
Here.
Commissioner Slander.
Here.
And Commissioner Thomas.
Here.
All right, thanks. The next item on the agenda is number 2, which is general public comment. Is anybody interested in commenting on anything that is not on tonight's agenda?
No public comment.
Okay, we will close that. Next agenda item is number 3, which is approval of the minutes for December 17, 2024 commission meeting. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Seconded.
Is there any public comment on our meeting minutes?
No public comment.
All right, we'll close public comment and we can vote.
President Blyman.
Aye.
Vice President Wong.
Aye.
Commissioner Davis.
Aye.
Commissioner Perez.
Aye.
Commissioner Poggio.
Aye.
Commissioner Slander.
Aye.
And Commissioner Thomas.
Aye.
All right, the meeting minutes have been approved. The next agenda item is number 4, which is a report from our executive director.
Thank you, President Blyman. Good evening, commissioners. I have a very brief update for you all this evening. I agendized it as calendar updates to just broadly share some time-related updates with you all. First of all, Happy New Year. We are in a new year now, 2025. We're very excited about it. We will have a New Year's Eve update coming in from Senior Inspector Zverina during his report, so I'll allow him to take that update for all of you. tomorrow is also a big date. It will be the inauguration of our new mayor, Daniel Lurie, occurring here right outside of City Hall. It is open to the public, so all are welcome. I will be sure to this evening go ahead and email all commissioners and staff with just some directions for attending as a member of the public. You are very much discouraged from driving here. There will be many street closures occurring, and so please take public transit if you can. That will be occurring at 11:30 tomorrow, and then there will be an open house here at City Hall afterward, which again is open to the public, and the new mayor will have a receiving line where he'll meet any member of the public that wants to meet him and take a photo with him, so that's very exciting. I know there's going to be a lot of events in follow-up to the inauguration, and then starting Thursday, we get right to work. So our first department head meeting with this new mayor occurs Thursday morning. I'll continue to keep this group apprised of any initiatives that the new mayor and his policy chiefs are planning. If you have any information that you want me to funnel upward, please know that I have an open door policy around that. And if any commissioner who is not on our executive group wants to join one of those calls, at some point, those occur biweekly on Monday mornings, and we're happy to have anyone be included as long as we don't reach a quorum for that. So please just let me know. Aside from that, a couple other calendar updates. Our next hearing in January 21st, is canceled. It occurs right after a holiday. We decided to cancel that, so the next hearing will occur at the start of February, which I'm February 4th. Thank you, May. Very helpful. So we won't be meeting again until then. A couple other things. We're meeting as a staff this Friday to begin planning around some of our keystone events for the year, including our summit. It occurred in April the last couple of years, so we're going to be looking at an April date again, and we'll send out some information to all of you to just make sure that we can get as many commissioners to attend as possible. But over the next few days, especially if you have any ideas that you want to share for this year's summit, now is the time. Obviously, you can share them with us after Friday, but we would love to hear from you as soon as possible. We will take all of our staff ideas to our executive leadership call next time we meet, and we'll be making some decisions based off of that. So please do reach out. We're open to any and all ideas, and at this point, we're a bit of a blank slate. So thank you for that in advance. And that's all I have for you this evening. Let me know if you have any questions.
Questions? All right, I have no questions. Is there any public comment on the executive director's report?
No comment.
Closed. Next agenda item is number 5, report from our senior inspector.
Thank you, President Blyman. Good evening, commissioners. We have received 18 311 complaints since our last commission hearing on December 17th. I have 2 updates below. Please let me know if you have any questions. My first update is about Habibi Lounge, located at 26th 6th Street, which is on our permit agenda tonight for their POE and EHP permit applications. On Wednesday, January 1st at 12:25 a.m., Inspector Adams and I conducted a compliance check at Habibi Lounge. The business has received advance notice of this visit during our Entertainment Commission hearing on December 17th, 2024. When we arrived, we heard pre-recorded music playing from the rooftop patio, and upon entering the premises, we confirmed the upstairs audio system was in use. During our visit, we encountered confusion from the staff regarding allowable entertainment and outdoor amplified sound. Security initially denied me entry into the business. I explained that should they be granted a permit, denying entry to staff or SFPD would constitute a permit violation and could result in enforcement action. Eventually, I was allowed inside, but Inspector Adams was instructed to wait outside and was not permitted to enter. Once inside, management told me I could not take any pictures or videos, despite this being part of our job duties as inspectors to document findings. Management informed me that Habibi Lounge was hosting a private event. I clarified that that a permit is required for entertainment, whether the event is private or public. I observed the usual DJ booth set up, but management insisted that there was no DJ and that patrons were playing music from YouTube. This was accurate based on what I observed, though I could not document it due to their restrictions. When I was led upstairs, I confirmed that the outdoor speakers were playing pre-recorded music at what seemed to be lower volumes than what we initially heard from street level. As you may recall, Habibi Lounge's one-time outdoor event permit expired on December 21st, 2024. This was reiterated by commissioners and staff on the December 17th hearing, which the owner and his team attended in person. During my visit, I reminded the owner that they are not permitted to play outdoor music at any volume or host indoor entertainment until they receive the appropriate permits. At that point, he agreed to turn the music off. Unfortunately, at the end of my visit, the owner became frustrated and accused me of targeting his business due to ethnicity. Although I assured him this was not the case, the accusations escalated into a threat of litigation. Deputy Director Azevedo subsequently issued a $500 citation for playing outdoor amplified sound without a permit. Deputy Director Azevedo also reminded management that we had provided advance notice of our compliance check and emphasized that while our office is generally complaint-driven, we conduct compliance checks at businesses with a history of noncompliance and will continue to do so until corrective measures are implemented. My next and final update is a New Year's Eve update. It's a quick review of New Year's Eve event compliance. As we went into 2025, there were 64 events on our radar happening on New Year's Eve. Of those 64 events, 57 were permitted, 50 holding a brick and mortar permit, and 7 holding a one-time event permit. Of the 64 events, 4 of them went past 2 a.m. On the actual night of New Year's Eve, we only received 2 311 complaints. However, on New Year's Day, we received 7 311 complaints requesting service at specifically 2 large permitted outdoor events that have been happening for many years now. We can see a noticeable trend upward in large live music venues hosting events since the COVID-19 pandemic, along with a rising number of newly permitted businesses hosting events as well. Though this data is similar to 2023, we are seeing a larger number and a greater variety of events and venues hosting entertainment. And that's all I have. Let me know if you have any questions.
I just have a quick question. When you were outside Habibi Lounge, you said eventually they let you in. How, was it minutes? Was it 5 minutes, 10 minutes?
Eventually, once they produced some managers and ownership, I was let inside on their accord. Initially, security would not let me in. And even though they let me in, they still denied Inspector Adams entry during the whole visit.
And how many minutes did they keep you outside before they let you in?
Hard to say, not long, maybe 5. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Just a question about the Aurora restaurant that shows up on your inspection report a bunch.
Yeah.
Is there something in process there, it sounds like?
Yes, there's quite a bit in process there. Maybe I can let Deputy Director take this one.
Hi, Happy New Year, Commissioners. So for Aurora Fit, this is under active investigation, both from our office, but City Attorney is taking the lead. It's an illegal after hours party that's being promoted, and they have contacted the property owner, and City Attorney is taking it from there.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Just looked like it was significant stuff going on, so thank you.
Any more questions? We're good? All right, I don't have any questions. Is there any public comment on the senior inspector's report?
No public comment.
All right, we'll close public comment. We can move on to item number 6, which is hearing and possible action regarding applications for permits under the jurisdiction of the Entertainment Commission. I believe we do not have a consent agenda tonight, so if Deputy Director Azevedo can introduce the first permit application for us.
Thanks, President Blyman. The first permit application tonight I'm actually going to request continuance for. This is for Royal Ground Coffee. In speaking with the permit applicant, it appears that they should be resending out a new outreach letter. So they're aware of this, and we want to make sure that they use the template in advance of coming to a hearing. So I'm requesting continuance of this item.
I move continuance of the first item.
Seconded.
Is there any public comment on continuing this item?
No public comment.
Closed.
Great. The next permit on our regular...
I think we have to vote.
Oh, you should do that.
Thank you. Right. Otherwise, we can never continue.
You're right.
Stuck forever.
Forever.
Here. Yeah, limbo.
President Blyman.
Aye.
Vice President Wong.
Aye.
Commissioner Davis.
Aye.
Commissioner Perez.
Aye.
Commissioner Poggio.
Aye.
Commissioner Schlander.
Aye.
And Commissioner Thomas.
Aye.
All right, it's been continued. Now proceed.
Okay, great. Thank you. The next permit on our regular agenda is for an LLP permit at Magnolia Brewing Company, located at 1398 Haight Street. Magnolia Brewing Company recently underwent an ownership change, and the new owners are applying for the LLP permit to host occasional indoor entertainment, such as DJs and small bands. As you may recall, there was some public comment opposing this permit application at our last hearing, and the owner was not in attendance, so the commission voted to continue the agenda item to a future hearing date. After our last hearing, I spoke with the owner, who said he wanted to redo outreach right away to be agendized for tonight's hearing. He redid his outreach letter, which is included in your file, and sent it out to all of the addresses within 150 feet of the business by way of a professional mailing service. I have not heard from any of the neighbors in the building since the letter was resent. As a reminder, I explained the parameters of the LLP permit to the neighbors who initially submitted opposition, and the owner has stated that they don't plan to have regular programming. Senior Inspector Zavrina has set an internal sound limit for the space in accordance with MPC Article 29, and there were no added conditions from SFPD Park Station. Here to speak to you tonight is someone, I believe, from the business. Great. Come on up.
Hey guys, my name is Brandon Phillips. I'm one of the owners. But yeah, we're just looking to do something simple like vinyl record DJs, two-piece acoustic sets, nothing too crazy, nothing amplified, nothing that's going to kind of make for complaints, hopefully.
You're new owners?
Correct? Yeah, new owners, okay. Yeah. We took over in August.
Okay.
So at the last hearing, there were a few residents from the building and upstairs who were very concerned that no matter what entertainment there was, that there wouldn't be enough of a sound barrier and it would really be affecting their quality of life. Can you address that? And
well, there's acoustic paneling above on the ceiling already, and if we needed to, we could add more. But most of this is going to happen during our brunch hours, that wouldn't really affect quality of life, and then a little bit in the evenings, but no later than 10 or 11, depending on the event or the weekend. If it's like a holiday weekend, we might go till 11, but a normal weekend, it's just going to be a one or two piece set that's going to be till 10 p.m.
Great, great. And when were the panels added? Was that recently?
I think 2022. That was before our time.
And when do you think that you'll have the outdoor amplified sound? Do you think it's going to be during all opening hours, or do you have...
No, it's just going to be during our brunch hours.
Just during the brunch hours,
yeah,
okay.
Saturday and Sunday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday from like 11 a.m. till 2 p.m.
Can I interject really quick? Because Kevin indicated that part was removed from programming.
Oh, okay, cool.
Outdoor amplified sound. Yeah. Apologies if that's the agenda item should not reflect outdoor amplified sound. If it's still on the application, I should have redacted that. He initially did include outdoor amplified sound with those hours. I see you have the application pulled up.
Yeah.
And then after the fact, removed that piece of the application. Okay. So it was not included in the outreach letter, and it was not agendized as such. So apologies, it's still on the application. But this is just for indoor entertainment until 11 p.m.
Okay.
I've spent a lot of time at Magnolia over the last 20 years. There's plenty of outdoor amplified sound right across the street on that corner. It's just constant. Yeah, you don't need it.
Hello, thanks for coming in. Can you share some... were you able to reach out to your neighbors and were you able to talk to them, your neighbors upstairs?
Yeah, I did talk to a couple of the neighbors that do live upstairs. And once we explained the situation and that we're not trying to bring in like full bands, they were a lot more... you know, receptive to the scenario, but nobody would really tell me to my face exactly how they feel about it.
Okay. And then if there is a complaint in the future, how would you handle that? Is there a phone number that they can call that's readily available?
Yeah, I've given a couple of the neighbors my direct cell phone number, and I'm the operating partner, so I'll be there all the time during these events, so they can call me directly.
And how will you communicate to your staff of the policy of, you know, how to handle noise complaints from your neighbors?
We have direct communication through, like, Slack, so I'll be able to send out a Slack message to everybody involved.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
So I know that Kevin has had a number of bars. Have you been involved in those as well in the city?
Am I involved in this?
Yeah.
No, I've worked at Fly Bar. Just moved back here from Texas. I owned a brewery in Texas and did a lot of the music stuff there as well. And so very versed in all of, you know, decibel levels and all that good stuff. But I've worked at Fly Bar and, you know, been around a little bit.
Cool. I don't have any further questions. All right, you can have a seat and we'll have a quick discussion up here.
Cool. Great.
Let's open this to public comment before we discuss.
No public comment.
All right, I'm closing public comment. I can say that I've known Kevin for 2 decades, and he's a very competent operator of bars, and to survive, for Fly Bar to survive as is, as long as it has, is just a miracle. You have to know what you're doing to keep something around that long.
I'm taking as a positive signal the fact that there were so many neighbors speaking out opposing this last time, and now that they've talked to the operators, it seems like no one's here for public comment this time. So it seems like some of the issues have been resolved. So thank you for doing that outreach.
Yeah, it sounds like the good positive conflict resolution and communication, and thank you to staff for your role in that, and thank you to the venue and to the neighbors for making that work. That's what we want to see.
I also think you did the right thing, right? Just give them your cell phone, and then at least they have somebody they can talk to in real time, which makes often is the biggest difference maker. Uh-huh. All right. Does anybody want to make a motion?
I motion to approve the staff recommendations.
A second.
President Blyman.
Aye.
Vice President Wong.
Aye.
Commissioner Davis.
Aye.
Commissioner Perez.
Aye.
Commissioner Poggio.
Aye.
Commissioner Schlander.
Aye.
And Commissioner Thomas.
Aye.
All right. Congratulations. It's been approved. And we can move on to the next item.
The final permit on our regular agenda is for a place of entertainment and extended hours premises permit for Habibi Lounge located at 26 6th Street. This agenda item was also continued from our last hearing on December 17th to allow the business to meet with their neighbors at the Tenderloin Housing Clinic, THC, who run the neighboring SRO Seneca Hotel, and had concerns about Habibi Lounge's proposed operations. As a reminder, this business has been issued 4 citations, which is actually 5. I'll be speaking about that in just a moment to echo Senior Inspectors of Arena. And they initially opened and began operating as a restaurant with entertainment and late night food service without permits from any city agency. They came on our radar because of sound complaints, and through education, they have obtained a health permit, and they are working with our office to come into compliance for their entertainment, outdoor amplified sound, and food service after 2 a.m. For a little background, Habibi Lounge is a 2-story restaurant, with their second story being an open outdoor patio. They are located on the corner of 6th Street and Stevenson Alley in the C3G zoning district, which has the most liberal zoning controls in the city, allowing for 24/7 indoor and outdoor operations. Their current business hours are listed as 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 5 a.m. Friday through Saturday, and 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. Sunday. They have hookah, and while they have applied for a liquor license, they currently do not serve alcohol. The business shares a wall with the Windsor Hotel, which is listed as a tourist hotel, but in speaking with the owner yesterday, I learned that of their 60 rooms, 43 are residential, and the remaining 17 are for tourists. And approximately 25 feet away from them across Stevenson Alley is the 200-unit Seneca Hotel, which is managed by THC. Additionally, there are numerous residential buildings down Stevenson Alley. After applying for the POE and EHP permits, they applied for one-time permits to host indoor entertainment and outdoor amplified sound that expired on December 21st, 2024. During their last hearing on December 17th, Acting President Wong, Commissioner Poggio, and staff reminded the owner that after December 21st, they were not allowed to host indoor entertainment, nor could they play outdoor amplified sound on the patio. At the hearing, they were also warned that EC inspectors would be conducting a compliance check on New Year's Eve to verify they were adhering to these rules. And as you just heard during Senior Inspector Zavrina's enforcement report, the business was playing amplified music on the rooftop at 12:30 a.m. without a permit, and initially they denied entry to Senior Inspector Zavrina. As such, we issued another $500 citation to the business, bringing them to a total of 5 citations since October of 2024. While all citations have been paid, the business has yet to demonstrate compliance through consistent corrective actions. The POE permit they are applying for is to host indoor entertainment Thursday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 2 a.m., Saturday, 11 a.m. to 2 a.m., and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., along with outdoor amplified sound, Sunday through Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., Thursday, 11 a.m. to 12 a.m., and Friday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 2 a.m., and none of these days would exceed 8 hours total. I'd like to note that their POE permit does not include indoor entertainment Monday through Wednesday. Additionally, they have applied for an EHP permit for late night food service, daily 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., and indoor entertainment Friday through Sunday, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. Just for the record, this is what their initial application included. For outreach, the owner's architect sent a letter to all of the buildings located within 150 feet from the business, and you can see a copy of their letter and outreach list and an outreach map in your file. Thus far, to my knowledge, Habibi Lounge representatives have met with the mid-market CBD, who did not have any comments on the POE and EHP applications, and the owner met with representatives of THC on Thursday, January 2nd, in person at the business. I also learned that yesterday, the Habibi Lounge team was able to connect with the Windsor Hotel owner as well. During the meeting with THC last week, the owner gave them a tour of the business, and THC expressed their concerns thus far with Habibi Lounge's operations. Initially, THC presented Habibi Lounge with a set of proposed conditions that they were comfortable with, and the owner said that he couldn't agree to their suggested hours of entertainment and outdoor amplified sound. However, as of yesterday, I received email confirmation that Habibi Lounge, THC, and Windsor Hotel are all in agreement with the following permit conditions, which I'm going to read aloud for the record. Indoor entertainment allowed Thursday through Saturday, so technically Thursday night into Friday morning and Friday night into Saturday morning, 5 p.m. to 3:30 a.m., Saturday, 11 a.m. to 3:30 a.m., technically into Sunday morning, and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Food service allowed daily, 11 a.m. to 5 a.m. Outdoor amplified sound allowed on the terrace, Sunday through Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., Thursday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m., and Friday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 1 a.m., but shall not exceed 8 hours per day. A minimum of 1 security guard should be stationed at Habibi Lounge Thursday through Saturday, 6 p.m. until the business closes. And the patrons' queuing lines for entry into Habibi Lounge should be directed up 6th Street and away from Stevenson Alley to prevent congestion and noise disturbances on the residential street. And the patrons should not be permitted to smoke or loiter in Stevenson Alley, and clear signage should be posted. And staff and security should actively monitor and enforce this policy to ensure compliance. Lastly, I'd like to note that in your file is a letter of opposition from a neighbor who lives halfway down Stevenson Alley and is opposing the permits outright based on the negative experiences she's had with the businesses to date. And the only condition that was a suggestion by SFPD Tenderloin Station was to cap the outdoor amplified sound by 10 p.m. nightly. I know it's a lot of information, so please let me know if you have any questions, and otherwise I could introduce the owner. But I will pause there if you have any questions for me.
Questions? All right.
Ali, the owner from Habibi Lounge. Thank you.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
So, are we just asking questions, or are we... Have you prepared anything to say, or should we just go right into questions here?
Whatever questions you have.
Okay. Who wants to start?
I would be very interested in hearing what went on during our inspector's visit this last time and why they were initially denied entry and one of them was denied entry after that.
Because it was a New Year's and we had a private family event. It wasn't even open to the public or anything. And I did mention to them that it's only family. Nobody from the public is allowed to go inside.
So here's what I'm wrestling with here, Ali. So we have two duties here. One is to promote nightlife and help make sure it flourishes in the city of San Francisco. The other is to make sure that the operators who have the responsibility of having live music, which, by the way, might seem like a small thing, but brings all sorts of issues that we see every single day, right? Crowds, serious noise issues, public safety issues, et cetera, right? It's our job to make sure that the people that we grant permits to will take that permit and be responsible with the permit, right? Because it's quite a thing. You think it's not until you have a DJ and 1,000 people show up and you're overflowing with people and there's violence or there's things happening. And we have to make sure that everybody who's has that responsibility, who has that permit, is going to take it seriously and is going to be responsible themselves. We also are rated one of the highest trusted departments in the city from our permit holders. We regularly poll in the 80s and 90% because we work with permit holders to help them to make sure that they're compliant. The issue that I have and I continue to have here is it seems like the attitude from maybe not you specifically, but from people on your staff and from how we're treated is that we're some sort of enemy or that we are some sort of opposition force or some sort of group that's trying to stop you from doing what you want to do. And the other issue is that we have repeatedly warned you and said, this is our job. These hard working inspectors are in the field all night checking in on permit holders and people who don't have permits, et cetera. And even after warnings, you continue to violate rules, and that's not okay in its own, but the fact that you know that you're coming here and you know that you're coming before this group and you know that we have the power to either grant this permit or continue it or to limit the hours down to very few hours, which we have a lot of jurisdiction over, a lot of wiggle room over, that then you continue to do that, it makes me very uncomfortable personally and makes me wonder if you are going to be responsible with this permit, because as of now, by any indication that I can see, there's a complete lack of responsibility. It's almost like treating us like we're like some annoying thing that needs to go away. So the question that I have is, like, if we vote on this tonight, which I'm not sure I'm even comfortable doing yet, to be honest, everyone, but if we do, how do we know that you're going to take these rules seriously? We have hundreds and hundreds of permits. There's just a handful of people who treat us this way, right? And we don't want to have that kind of relationship. So how can we be assured tonight that you will actually take our rules seriously and follow them?
I mean, when we had the temporary permits, we was responsible all the time, no issues, no problems at all. Even with controlling the sound, we had it on the New Year's. It was a family event. One of my family members, he got married like last week, and we did a gathering for the family in Habibi Lounge. The sound was very, very low. I talked to the neighbors personally, and I went outside to monitor the sound. It was really low to the point that we did not bother anybody from the neighborhood. I did get harassed and bothered by the Entertainment Commission. They're the one who came at me. But regarding the sound was very low. We did not have a live DJ. We was playing sounds, from the iPad, and we did not have any issues since last time when we came to the hearing. We've been on because we didn't know the hearing was gonna change date. We thought, for the New Year's, we could get temporary permit, or we would have had our license for the New Year's. And, regarding having a private event not open to the public, I don't see, why, there's an issue with me playing a sound from the inside. And when he came in, I mean, he was trying to get in, and I told him, nobody come outside, stop everybody. It's a private event, it's a family event. He came in, the security told me, I came outside myself, you know, I assist him and I let him inside to see that, you know, we do not have, you know, a live DJ playing, and the music was played by my cousin. He's here, you know, he was playing the music on the iPad. And then, you know, he did told us he want to go upstairs and see the speaker upstairs. I took him upstairs. He's seen the sound. It was very, very low. It wasn't even going to the neighbors or to the sidewalk. So he told me, you cannot, you know, have that speaker, you know, turned on. I unplugged the whole speaker. Since then, we don't have an outdoor speaker, and I unplugged it, you know, completely just to, you know, stay away from that issue and from citation, you know. Do I like paying citations? No. Every time it's coming out of my pocket. So I really do not want any citation or any issues.
Okay, so I'm hearing you defend what happened on New Year's. So, okay, put that aside. I mean, you've gotten 5 citations, right? So the question still stands. Like, New Year's aside, if we are to vote on this tonight and grant it, how can we be assured that you are going to be responsible and that you're going to follow the rules going forward? That's my question.
I mean, I'm doing my best. I already talked to the neighbors and everything. We met with them, and I, you know, they have my phone number personally. If they have any issues, they call me directly. I do not want, you know, any of the neighbors, you know, getting complaint or, you know, bringing the commission to come there all the time. You know, as of now, I disconnected the speaker, you know, for the outside, so we don't have that ongoing issue until, you know, maybe later on, you know, when we get the permits or so. But we will, you know, have a responsibility and make sure that, you know, it doesn't happen again.
More questions?
One of the concerns I have is that it seems that our staff are not really being treated with respect when they come to your establishment. In the future, are you saying you're going to be, they will obviously be allowed to perform their jobs. They're going to be let in. They're going to be able to take photos and record what's going on there. They're not going to confront any other issues like this. It was a surprise to me that this happened again after our last meeting, and we discussed that.
I mean, we finished the temporary permits. If we had, you know, any left temporary permits to use, we would have had it, you know, for that day. But because the hearing got changed until today, that's the only reason, or it wouldn't happen again.
In my opinion, you know, I'm the industry rep, or one of the industry reps here, and I own bars and clubs. And when I've been in a situation like this, I have made sure that I've been on my best behavior. So if you're in violation when in this time period where it should be your best efforts and you still get a violation, that really just doesn't fill us with a lot of confidence. And that is on top of repeated violations and the repeated incidents where our staff is being disrespected and unable to do their job.
I mean, that's how you feel, but I mean, I feel the same way. I feel like I am getting harassed and picked on, you know, them coming bothering me and the sound. If you really, you know, I told him to do the recording from the sidewalk, he wouldn't get anything. So I am, you know, asking for, you know, some type of like a proof from everything that, you know, it is the sound going to the sidewalk. You know, the sound was very low. It wasn't going to the sidewalk. They just, you know, just harassment ongoing. After, and I told them, we was in the sidewalk, and I told them personally, do you hear the music coming out here? I mean, you hear, I mean, the loud on the sidewalk, the people playing music and everything, and the fireworks, it was way louder than ours. So, you know, there wasn't any music or any issue, you know, coming to the neighborhood.
Yeah, but they're not applying for an entertainment permit, the people on the sidewalk. So they don't matter, right? It's when somebody has this permit, the responsibility is on us, too. Like, when we grant a permit, then we have a responsibility. And if we grant a permit to somebody who's irresponsible and something happens, that comes right back on us. It comes right back on this department. So we don't really care what the people on the sidewalk are doing because they're not applying for a permit. They're not under our jurisdiction. Our job is to make sure that a licensed establishment that wants to have live music, right, is responsible enough to take that on and do what is required, which is a lot. It's a lot of work, and you have to be buttoned up. So I hear you defending yourself a lot, and I can see that you feel like you're under attack. I can feel that from you. What I'm saying is maybe put that aside for a second, right? Put aside the desire to defend yourself, right? And talk to us about why this body right here can trust you to do the right thing going forward by us and by your customers and by public safety and everything that comes along with that. When you go down that route of defending yourself, I'll say right now, it's not helping your cause for us to vote today, right?
Yeah.
Because part of me, and I'll just be honest, feels like maybe you need a month of showing us that you can do this without getting a freaking citation, right? Just one. And by the way, they show up at a million places a night, right? Yeah. The ones that get citations, all of them let us in. Everybody has exactly the same rules, right? So the idea that you're somehow being singled out or something is just simply not true, right? I mean, it's our job to do that. They have to do their job, right?
I mean, I did take some measures. He seen me himself unplug the speaker, and that speaker is not active. So we do not have on the second floor, nothing right now playing at all, even throughout the weekends. And if we do get the permits, I just want that one to be out of the way. So there's no music playing outside. There's only inside. I unplug that music, and that speaker is not there. Maybe, you know, down the line, you know, we will, you know, work on that one. If not, you know, I'm okay with not having the outdoor permit and just get rid of it so we could just, you know, be on a good, you know, same page, and at the same time not get harassment every time and get in violation after violation. I don't want that, you know, campaign out of my pocket, so I'd rather just eliminate that speaker and just, you know, save everybody a headache.
I mean, just to say, we don't want you getting violation after violation either, right? We want you to be able to operate a thriving business. I appreciate that you're opening on 6th Street. I appreciate that you've gone through the work to get all the permits and so on. But at the same time, from our perspective, it doesn't matter if it's a public event or a private event, if it's a permitted venue, right? If it's live music, we don't care how much you're charging at the door, if you're turning people away or anything. It's about the entertainment and the music being played, and it's about the sound levels. Yeah. So, you know, it's, I felt like when your team was in here before and we had this conversation about the previous citations and you were going to meet with the folks from THC who were here, and that seems to have happened. That's great. And I feel like we were also pretty clear that our inspectors were going to be coming back around. So it shouldn't have been a surprise to you that our inspectors were coming. And so I feel like I don't quite understand this sort of disconnect of, well, it was a private event, we weren't expecting this, or we weren't, you know, that's not, you know, we want you to succeed. I'm having a hard time getting to that place of trusting you when it seems like there continues to be violation after violation, and you know, so there's been some progress, but I think I want to see more progress towards being the same sort of level of compliance that the vast majority of venues in the city are able to come up with.
No, I thank you for that, and I just want to also reiterate that, you know, compliance checks are about checking. We obviously can't be everywhere at every time, right? So it's compliance checks are about snapshotting, right? We go over, we see what's going on, things are okay, then we move on to another place. It's a way of seeing kind of what's going on for the moment and moving on. And I spoke last week about citations and correcting behavior. So again, it's not just a matter of paying a $500 citation, it's about correcting behavior. That to me is what makes a citation resolved, is when the fine is paid, but also behavior is corrected. I asked about the staff. You're asking us to trust you with a lot, right? Outdoor permit, indoor entertainment, extended hours. And I gave you the answer. I said, hey, if the inspectors show up and you have a question about it, comply, and then you can always follow up with the staff and say, hey, they came by on this day. I'm not sure why. Can you let me know? Can you tell me what's going on? But the key word is, you have to be able to comply when they show up and treat them respectfully. Yeah. I'm also inclined to that maybe a continuance is in order to be able to show you, so you can show us, your establishment, that we can trust you, that your behavior is corrected, that is my tentative position, I'll be honest.
Okay. All right, more questions before we debate our moves. Yes, Executive Director.
I do just want to state for the record that I just want to chime in and say that I do take offense on behalf of my staff for the continued use of the word harassment for their inspections of your commercial business. They are inspectors of the city and county of San Francisco. This is their job. Trust me, they do not want to continue coming to your business. As Commissioner Poggio just stated, if you can prove compliance and correct these actions that we now have sadly documented five times, we will not be revisiting. It's as simple as that.
Yes. I mean, I quite understand, and I'm with you completely, and I don't want this, you know, ever happening again. And if they come there, I'll welcome to come anytime. I welcomed him after the security came and told me. I let him in, and I let him into the first floor, second floor, and, you know.
But you wouldn't let him take photos. And
it was a family private event. And
no. I will also say just a couple other things.
It wasn't open to the public.
So it doesn't matter. There is no distinction in police code between public versus private. You are a commercial business, right? And the next step for us is to start including police officers on our inspections because I figure you'll respect them.
No, I mean, it's not
I would
about,
like to avoid that.
Yeah. I mean, I respect them regardless, you know, at all. But I mean, at all time, except for that time I told you it was a private event, family event, and I didn't know it does, you know, comply to, you know, being a normal event to the public.
It doesn't matter, right? You know, if you are doing outdoor amplified sound, that requires a permit. If you're doing entertainment, that requires a permit. Public versus private, there's no distinction in code. Okay. And this is not just you. This is every commercial business in the city. We don't touch residential properties, but if you're a commercial business and you do those activities, you fall under our office for inspection. And
no
you
problem.
Need to allow any inspector from my office that produces a badge identifying themselves to enter the business, to take sound readings, to take photos. That is their job. And again, they don't want to be there. They don't want to have to keep doing this. They want to be able to prove compliance and report back to all of us the good news that we can say that you have corrected these actions. And over time, we've had businesses that have proven compliance again and again. We stop visiting altogether because there's a proven track record. At this point, it's the opposite of that.
Yeah.
It's a proven track record of non-compliance.
I mean, we will comply, and I will make sure that the security guard get notified, and everyone get notified that if they come in, they are welcome to come in at any time.
Thank you.
I will correct this issue.
Thank you.
No problem.
More questions?
I mean, mine's going to be short. Like, I'm very excited about what you guys have brought to San Francisco. I enjoy hookah, so on the positive side. But as you can hear from all my colleagues, it's just accepting the responsibility of what your business is. And again, it's very, very positive, especially on 6th Street. We need more things like that. Yeah. And I'm just hearing from my colleagues is that you just need to take responsibility for your business. And man, like, we want to support you.
Thank you.
And like she mentioned, it's like, start going the other way with the compliance versus, you know, all these, you know, that's a lot of money coming out of your pocket, you know, it's like,
no, thank
the first time, second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time is like, come on, man. Like, we want to support you, but you're making it hard for us to support you.
No, thank you. I promise I will comply, and I will notify all my employees, and I will talk with every one of them to let them come in anytime they are welcome to come in without no issues.
All right, Commissioner Perez.
Yeah, I just want to say real quick, I'm sorry you feel like you're being singled out, and I'm maybe that's your previous experience as a business owner. You feel like you're being, you know, singled out in some negative way. So I just want to assure you, at least this commission is not like that at all. We are here to support you.
Thank you.
We want you to succeed, like Commissioner Thomas said. We want you to thrive, especially on 6th Street. We want you to see us as your partner.
Yes, thank
so
you.
So we're not there to just, you know, to harass or to make it uncomfortable for you. We're really here to support you, to make sure that everything is in line with the rules. And as you show more progress in that regards, then you don't need to see from us anymore, right? So we just need to establish this trust. And I just want, hopefully this new year, we can turn a new page, start fresh, have a reboot, and you can really trust us so that we can also trust you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I will. Thank you. I really appreciate every one of you.
May I take a moment to speak to the... Thanks. Thank you, Commissioner Perez. I appreciate it. I just wanted to...
Can you state your name?
My name is Joseph Benveniste. I'm the architect. I just wanted to... I appreciate it and apologize for what happened on the 1st at just a few minutes after the new year. I think it was... we'll look to correct that. I just wanted to speak to highlight some positive relationships that Habibi Lounge has had with the police department. We have a letter of support from Lieutenant Barry Marshall, and we had a wonderful visit with the police chief not just a few weeks ago. We spent half an hour touring the place. He went upstairs. We showed him upstairs. We showed him the basement all around. And it was a lovely half an hour meeting with the police chief. And so just wanted to put on the table, there's also, in addition to some negative issues that have come up in front of the commission, and I apologize, there has been a positive track record. I think if you take the time to read the letter of support from Lieutenant Barry Marshall, I think he speaks glowingly of the work that Habibi Lounge has done on the block and in dealing with people suffering from substance abuse. Thank you.
Any more questions for the applicant or comments before we discuss? Okay, you can have a seat. Thank you. I'm just going to kick off this discussion because I think we need to frame, or I feel like I need to frame it at least. So I think we have two options before us, and I'm honestly torn. So I could see good cases for both. So on one side, you know, we had a permit holder with a non-permit holder, permit applicant with a five-time documented history of non-compliance, right? Which is just the ones that we happen to see, right? Who was warned unequivocally that we're coming by and that outdoor music is not allowed and seemed to do it anyway, and then was somewhat hostile, even maybe too strong a word, but at least extremely difficult for our inspectors to deal with. So on that one side, I can see a case for asking this permit holder to come back to the next meeting, which is a month from now, and to for this month demonstrate that they can at least do a single month without a citation. They've gotten five since October, so that's more than one a month, right? So I can see that. It makes perfect sense to me. I'm open to it. On the other side, I think we've seen a lot of times that when somebody gets a permit from us, that's not the end of their process. In fact, it's the beginning of a new and equally onerous scrutiny. And on that side, you know, I think the incredible work that was done with the Tenderloin Housing Clinic or THC, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also, I just want to thank them. I don't know if they're here, but for being so flexible and so reasonable and being really like, I think an archetype of how we love when neighbors act reasonable and open and willing to continue conversations and go forward. A lot of times here, that's not the kind of neighbors that we see. We see people with very rigid ideas and understanding, and it takes a lot of work. So thank you for being so open and reasonable. It's really, really incredible. So thank you. So just, you know, having seen them do that work, having them come to agreements together is promising to me. I think we have put this permit holder through a lot of our process for making sure that they learn what we do and become compliant. And when we grant a permit, as I said, it's very often the start of our conversations, or they even almost in some ways get beefed up because all of a sudden they're actually under our umbrella. So I can actually see the case for both of these, and I would love for you all to chime in, or some of you if you have strong feelings about this on where you might fall on those. We can't not vote. The other alternative would be to vote with limits and conditions, but given that they've already worked out agreements, I would be probably less open to further conditioning. I'd probably start with the conditions as is, and then if there's problems, then that's where we can we can make adjustments rather than whittling those out first. So. Public comment is a smart idea. Should we do that?
Let's do that.
I forgot briefly that it existed, but I remember again. Let's open this up to public comment, and then we can have more discussion.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Pratibha Theke, and I work for Tenderloin Housing Clinic. I oversee a community organizing department, Central City SRO Collaborative Program. And we work with tenants at Seneca Hotel and also hotels, SRO hotels in that neighborhood. I was here last time speaking for continuance because we have not had any success meeting with the owner in spite of being stood up or something, if that is a word, for meetings. So that being said, we definitely met with the owner on January 2nd, and we met with Mr. Ali, who's here, and some of my staff and resident, we met with them. We presented our case, which was very much more what we would like to see, but we are reasonable people and we want thriving business in Sixth Street because we are really suffering in Sixth Street right now with a lot of negative behavior from a lot of the businesses that has opened up currently. So that being said, we are not in support. We are not in opposition. We are happy that we come to some kind of conclusion. We are definitely cautiously optimistic knowing that we hope the tenants, the residents, the business owners feel comfortable calling 311 because many people do not think calling 311 makes any difference. So that is the education that we will be providing to people, to residents there, to business owners there, that they have to call 311 if they have concerns. And we definitely have direct line to Mr. Ali, so we can definitely reach out to him. But in terms of how I feel about the two proposals that President Ben basically put up forward, we are not taking any positions because you guys know better because you deal with a lot of the issues. So I would leave it up to you guys to decide what you think is right for the neighborhood. Thanks.
Thank you. Further public comment.
So there's one person on Zoom. So okay. If Ender's no one.
Commissioners, we have one person with their hand raised on Zoom, Kelly Burse. Kelly, if you can hear us, please unmute yourself.
I just unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. You have 2 minutes. Thank you.
Okay,
oh, sorry.
Great.
My bad. 3 minutes.
Thank you. I just have a few points. When I discovered the poster, the notice for permit application, in the window, I stopped and tried to take a picture of it so I could get information on what was going on. At that time, somebody, I assume an employee, came up, and when he saw me fumbling for my phone, he began to stare me down, was very intimidating, and then took the flyer out of the window so that I could not take an image of it. I found that very disrespectful and concerning. The first week that the business opened, several of their patrons parked under my window, at which time, around 2 a.m., they loitered for about an hour snorting drugs off the hood of their car. I explained that we have children in our building and that it wasn't appropriate. I asked them very politely if they would maybe move down the street. They said sorry and then continued to keep doing it. As far as the noise, I'm a half a block away behind double pane windows. At 3, 4 a.m., hearing drumming and very loud broadcasted music, so loud that when I made a noise complaint with the non-emergency number, the officer could hear it behind a closed window in my apartment and said, geez, yeah, I can hear that. So it's too loud. It makes the neighborhood unlivable. Frankly, and I would hope that we can come to some resolution about the outdoor noise level on the patio. Also, a big problem is the loitering at 4 a.m. very noisy, very disruptive. I've witnessed several people coming out of the bar with drinks in their hands, loitering in the alleyway and still drinking. They're very intoxicated, getting in their cars and driving. That's a little frightening. Also, their patrons seem to use the no parking side of the alleyway as their personal parking lot, parking fully on the sidewalk, blocking pedestrian access, blocking driveways without any concern of whether they'll be towed, which surprises me, as well as blocking the fire hydrants. Now, I've made several inquiries with the police department about that, and they never show up. We've had several fires on this block, and quite frankly, it's frightening to think that a fire truck would not be able to get down the street because of their access being blocked. So those are my major concerns, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. And there is no more hands raised on Zoom.
No more public comment.
All right. Public comment's closed, so let's pretend that happened before I filibustered about my thoughts.
I did hear from the owner a suggestion of rescinding the request for the outdoor amplified sound permit. Is that
you have to ask the applicant?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, do you want to no longer do the outdoor amplified sound?
I'm so sorry. I think what he's just. What I meant to say was the
speaker. Could you speak closer to the mic?
The speaker is being removed from the roof so that until we Habibi Lounge has a permit in hand, there won't be just the possibility of someone after the countdown, maybe turn the music on accidentally. So there won't even be a possibility of that. Yeah.
Until you have a permit, but you still want to have a permit for the outdoor amplifier.
Yes, yes.
Got it. Thank you for clarifying. Yeah.
And regarding the alcohol, we don't have alcohol on the premises. Maybe it's because next door we have a club, and maybe they're confusing us with the next door clubbing. And, it's a common street, for people being there using drugs all over. I see it all the time. So it's not like, they belong to us. They park their cars up there. They're snoring off of the hood. It's everywhere. It's not just, part of us. So they think they're confusing us with the next door club, that people walking with the alcohol in their hand and being toxic. So it's just confusing. But on that day, it was really too much noise coming from everywhere, from a boombox, from cars, from fireworks, from everything. So that's what I want to point out.
More thoughts?
I mean, I personally think there should be a continuance. I don't feel comfortable voting today, considering there was a violation since the last hearing. And this is one of the most expansive permits that I've seen, asking for the most hours.
You can have a seat, Ali. Now we're doing our own discussion.
I don't support this application as is. I would like to see more time and more trust, and that's my opinion.
Policeman. I also agree. I do support a continuance also, just based on the conduct observed by the inspectors, as well as the numerous citations. I want to make sure that behavior has been corrected. So I also support a continuance.
Yeah, I mean, again, I am in support of what you guys are doing. I think the city needs what you're doing, but I am also not comfortable as well as of right now. I think showing the commission that you're going to be responsible is the key for my colleagues to vote on this. So yes, I will push for a continuance as well.
And showing your community too. I think that there seems like a lot of people that really want to work with you on this for the same reasons that we want to support you. What Anthony said, we really want more businesses. We want this for you, but we want you to see that you are being compliant and that you're being a good neighbor to your community.
So I'm
not opposed to a continuance, but I just want us to think through what we mean by that so that they will not have a permit for any entertainment until we vote on it, right? So, and are you thinking a continuance? We're not meeting on the 21st, so be the beginning of February.
February 4th.
Right, would be the next time. So it would be a little less than a month of time for the Habibi Lounge to be in operation, but without a permit for entertainment so that they will not be able to have any live entertainment.
I'd also like to clarify that it can't be late night food service either. They don't have an EHP for serving food after 2 a.m. at this time. So it's not just entertainment and outdoor amplified sound. It also includes food service after 2.
Thank you for that clarification, because I feel differently about the food service than I do about
right.
the...
It's just covered under the same.
Yeah, permit. Yeah.
Agreed.
So what's our expectation during this time? So that they're not going to have any entertainment at all? That's what we're asking them, right? Can you have no entertainment or no violations in this one
And no late night food service is what...
It's all of the above.
Okay.
And for the record, the reason they can't get another one-time permit in this time is they've had 12 already.
12 per year. But this is the beginning of the year.
In the 12-month period.
Oh, okay.
No, sorry.
So I personally, I definitely understand where you guys are coming with this. I am very conflicted, and I'm also open to giving them the benefit of the doubt and the opportunity, knowing how in need of investment Sixth Street is. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. There were some genuine misunderstandings about this event and the continued issues with compliance, just because I know how much of an adverse economic impact 1 month of not being able to operate at this capacity could have on a struggling new business on this street. And I did see today a good faith representation that they will be treating our staff respectfully and that they're going to try to comply. So I'm definitely split. If you guys feel a continuance is needed to build that trust, I definitely can defer to your decision here, but I would be open to looking at voting on it today as well.
Yeah, I totally understand where you're all coming from, and part of me feels the same way as like how can I vote on this today when they have not shown respect for the rule? On the other side, exactly what's in Commissioner Wong said, which is that running a business in San Francisco is so hard. And I think actually their business is run with one-time permits, so that maybe gave them a lifeline for this time being. And what I don't want to do is accidentally put them in a situation that puts them so far behind the eight ball that then that may lead to desperate measures, right? Whereas oftentimes we see businesses wildly out of compliance when they have nothing to lose, right? When their backs are against the wall. And I don't want to accidentally force that to send a message. I want to send the message, but I don't want to accidentally force that. So,
and I also like to add that for a POE and EHP permit, inspections are required: health, fire, and DBI, plumbing, electrical, and building. And I haven't heard from the business where they're at with any of their DBI inspections. So even if you were to vote tonight, it doesn't mean I would be issuing the permit because I don't have those DBI inspections in hand yet. So that's something to consider as well.
I mean, I feel like, you know, the issue is about compliance. We've had a bad track record so far. Either we don't issue the permit tonight and we postpone it and we're holding them accountable for being in compliance with the condition of not having a permit, or we vote on the permit. Deputy Director Acevedo issues it when she's able to, based on the regulations. And then we're holding them accountable for being in compliance with the permit conditions. Either way, we're going to be focused on accountability and compliance. It's just, what are we holding them accountable to the compliance with? And I, even though I am really dubious about the track record so far, I feel like I would rather give them the benefit of the doubt and hold them accountable to being in compliance with the permit conditions than with the absence of a permit. Exactly. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we need to kind of give them like a trial period to see if they can perform and be in compliance for that.
I also want to note that, and this to Ali and to your team, is that denying permits is a tough bar for us to reach. But we have really, really massive authority here to limit permit hours, right? And so if we were to vote tonight, and I think I'm leaning toward it because I just – the idea of trying to survive on 6th Street where San Francisco desperately needs it and us – doing that to send a message, something about that doesn't fit right when we can send the message, like you said, by holding them to the permit. But, you know, if there are compliance issues, and you basically used up all your lifelines here, right? Like you used them up before you even got the permit, right? So we are on a knife's edge right now, a precipice of whether or not we even vote tonight on this, right? If there's any compliance issues after this permit is issued, I will personally ask that this permit holder that you're called back here, and we will have a frank discussion about limiting hours, and we can limit hours down to 10 minutes of entertainment a day, once a year if we want. We've never done that, and we never will, but that's the kind of wild kind of power we have over how we can do things, and you can go from a thriving business to one that's just been whittled down. And we've had a couple permit holders that we've had to do that with, where we're like, you get 2 days a week for 1 hour, right? That's all you've shown responsibility enough. We don't want to do that, right? Like, it's the last thing we want to do, especially for a business trying to make it where you're trying to make it. And trust me, I know how hard it is to run a business in this city when you're not in that neighborhood, right? Let alone when you are, right? So there is a... We do have real power here to affect this if there are continued violations of the code.
Can I ask a question of staff?
Yeah.
So just a question to staff in the staff recommendation or in the notes. There's also a comment that SFPD Tenderloin Station added a condition regarding capping the outdoor amplified sound at 10 p.m., but that's not part of the staff recommendations. Was that a, do you think that's not necessary?
The input from Tenderloin Station admittedly was pretty sparse, and they didn't have like overall concerns. It was an email that was like, the only thing I could suggest is capping it at 10 because of patron noise being problematic. The reason it wasn't considered for staff recommendations is because the most vulnerable neighbors agreed to something else. Both Windsor Hotel, who share two walls with Habibi Lounge, mm-hmm. and then Seneca, who's across the alley. So it, that's why it wasn't included.
Got it. Thank you very much.
But you could vote with SFPD's recommendation.
Scrolling down to look for the... So there was an added note towards the end that came in the last few days with edited hours, right?
All of the agreed upon conditions between the two parties. When I say two parties, I'm saying THC and Windsor Hotel as one. So it relates three parties, are in the staff recommendations because there was a lot of back and forth.
Right.
I also wanted to point out that the staff recommendation addresses one of the concerns raised by the last public commenter about Stevenson Alley, that if we were to approve it, one of the recommendations is that this permit holder has to post anti-loitering and no smoking signage, and that staff and security have to actively monitor Stevenson Alley to keep it clear.
I want to bring this up too. Well, we're going to be here talking about this for a while. So that's great, and they should do that. But just imagine from your neighbor's perspective, right, if your security staff is patrolling an area that's right near you and making that safer and making that quieter, even if it's not your own customers there, just saying, hey, you got to move along. We got a permit on our heads. We're going to get blamed for what you're doing. That's a way that entertainment and nightlife is incredibly helpful to the city of San Francisco. When you have a bunch of spots that are open at night and have security guards there, they get safer. Their lights on. If there's a scream and something's happening to somebody, you have witnesses, you have people to intercede, et cetera, et cetera. That's the kind of thinking that we want you to come around to, as opposed to some permit holders who think, I'm doing exactly what you asked me to do. Don't ask me to do anything else. It's not my problem. It's not my issue, right? You don't have to be Batman and fix the neighborhood, but just in your little area, if you make it safer, you may come back a year from now and you may have neighbors that are really stoked that you're there, right? And really excited that you moved in because the neighborhood became markedly better from that. And I've done that many times in my businesses. And it's really, everybody wins, and that's why I think entertainment's great. But I do. I think it's good for it.
I like that.
I'm still not Batman, unfortunately. More thoughts?
I have one other suggestion that came up, is that if the food service for the under an EHP is not of a concern, you could technically grant that separate from a POE tonight and allow for food service until 5 a.m. It does require inspection. So again, I still need those from DBI, but that could be a separate approval to help them along with the hours of operation to serve food.
Yeah.
But then they would have to return for an amendment.
Well, they have to return for the POE separate, right? Oh, an amendment to include the entertainment part.
Mm. I'd rather do it now.
And one or the other.
Yeah. Same. Mm-hmm.
I think so.
And so just to reiterate, the full set of recommendations, and this is what has been signed off on by everyone, mm-hmm. including our staff, THC, and the owner, is the Good Neighbor Policy, food service allowed until 5 a.m. daily, indoor entertainment allowed Thursday and Friday, 5 p.m. to 3:30 a.m., Saturday, 11 a.m. to 3:30 a.m., and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Outdoor amplified sound on the rooftop terrace allowed Sunday to Wednesday, 11 to 10, Thursday, 11 to 11, Friday, 11 to 1 a.m., but not to exceed 8 hours per day. To have at least one security guard working Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 6 p.m. until when the business closes. That patrons queuing for entry should be lining up on 6th Street and away from Stevenson Alley. That patrons will be discouraged from smoking or loitering in Stevenson Alley. And then the sound abatement internal limit approved as it's been done by staff, maximum just measured inside, and that the permit holder controls the volume of the outdoor amplified sound so that it doesn't go beyond where it's marked on the dial. So those are the conditions. I think I am feeling like we should go ahead and vote on this tonight, and with the understanding collectively that this is about an opportunity to build trust and measure compliance, to ensure that everyone is being treated with respect, and that neighbors and the business owner and Entertainment Commission staff are all able to work well together and mitigate any challenges that come up. Does that sound like what we're... Or that's where I'm leaning.
I agree, but I also think that, like I said before, this is a really expansive permit, and I think that, I would be happy to vote on it if this were, if we could limit some of these hours.
Yeah. What would you
I would say
recommend?
Indoor entertainment till 1 a.m., during Thursday through Friday, Sunday, that I'm fine with 10 p.m. Outdoor amplified sound, I would say 8 p.m. Those are the changes I would make.
More than the police.
Yeah. But I mean, and this is like, I want you guys to get these hours, like I said, but I want us to have a period of time where you can show us you can comply with more limited hours instead of having, you know, more expansive hours than most of the permit holders in the city.
What if, so I, that's a little much for me, personally. I see where you're coming from, and I get it. I think one issue might just be the extension past 2 a.m. that we might discuss. I mean, that's a privilege, not a right, you know, that very few people have that. So I think if we're going to talk about limiting hours, that might be what I was that is what I would be comfortable looking at, is whether or not they can go till 2 a.m. If we want to cut the outdoor music at 10 or 11 or 12 or 1 or 2, I found outdoor music to be not that effective at bringing and keeping business. It's just like ambient music on a patio. People hang out on patios anyway. So we might look at limiting the late night option. I think I'd be comfortable with that.
So you're suggesting limit indoor until 2 a.m. and outdoor until 8 or 10 or?
I mean, the agreement was 3:30. So right.
Outdoor.
Right.
The latest
11.
Is
to 11. So yeah. So just keep
1 a.m. on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah. I would just keep the outdoor the same. You know, remember, they have to keep the volume at the prescribed rate or else they're out of compliance, too. So then they're, you know.
And that's all ending before 2 a.m., so.
Yeah, and then it's all before 2. I actually personally would probably just rather just vote on the extended hours. But if that's, you know, if we all discuss and we want to, like Commissioner Davis has said, if we wanted to do something, that's probably where I would draw my own line.
So we would be voting separately on extended hours as opposed to the POE?
In the case that if we were to limit somewhere, I think I'd be comfortable limiting up to 2 a.m. And then if they wanted to go till 3:30, then we would bring them back in here after shown history of compliance, and then they could come back in and ask again for extended hours, essentially.
But it would be one vote. We wouldn't have
to. Okay.
Yep. I mean, we also, you know, we can put two motions and see how it goes, right? But generally, that's maybe only happened once in 8 years since I've been here. So usually we work it out at a year. And if you can't vote on it, you know, like if it's going away that it's not for me, then you vote no, you know, and then you can look at it again and try again or not, right? So anybody else have thoughts? I keep coming back to how hard it is to do business in the city and thinking about how hard it must be to do business on Sixth Street and how much Sixth Street needs life and energy. And that's where my, you know, despite repeated violations, that's where I want to give a benefit of the doubt, because I want to help that part of the city to have more thriving businesses in it.
Well, then I'm willing to put a motion on the table with this and see where that gets us with a vote or at least a conversation, which is to approve the place of entertainment and extended hours permits with the staff recommendations as written, except for number 3, to amend it to say indoor entertainment allowed Thursday to Friday, 5 p.m. to 2 a.m., Saturday, 11 a.m. to 2 a.m., and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m.
I will second that. And I also just want to speak directly to the ownership team and say, please help us help you and play by the rules and treat our staff respectfully and our inspectors respectfully, because we want this to work out.
I also, one more thing. You do not have, if we vote on this and we vote yes, right, the motions are out there. You can, questions are for staff later on, but that you do not have a permit, right? Not until that DBI inspection comes through. So that means we cannot issue this permit until the DBI inspection comes through and we get signed off. That means from now until whenever that happens, you're existing in the same space you were existing at on New Year's, which means no entertainment, no late night, nothing, right?
No outdoor amplified.
No outdoor, nothing, right? And that's not on us. That's on you, between you and DBI, right? Because it's, we need that to be signed off on if we don't have it already. Sometimes that goes real quick. Sometimes it doesn't. As you know, architect, right? They could find something that needs remedying, right? And that's that. Again, we're not allowed by law to issue this until they tell us that it, that the space is safe and ready to go. Okay, so I don't want you, if this gets voted on, I don't want you to run out of here and be like, "Woo, you know, party's on," because it's not until that happens, right? And if you have further questions, I can see a question face the for staff afterwards, right? Clarifications and things, but. Also, you'll probably get visits from us between now and then, and it's not harassment. That's what we do for a living. They're out there every single night checking on every single person, especially ones that have a history of noncompliance. So we're coming, right? Guaranteed. You're going to get a visit from us, right? And they're going to visit you and hundreds of other places around. It's going to happen.
Even if it's a private event.
Even if
public
the event
or
is private
event.
Man,
public
that would be fun if you could just have a private event and just be like, woo. all right. So we have a motion. We have a second. Any comments before we vote? If this vote doesn't work, then we're back to the drawing board and we'll have another vote.
Yep.
All right.
Okay. President Blyman.
Aye.
Vice President Wong.
Aye.
Commissioner Davis.
Nay.
Commissioner Perez.
Aye.
Commissioner Poggio.
Nay.
Commissioner Schlander.
Aye.
And Commissioner Thomas.
Aye.
All right. Definitely want to follow up with our staff afterwards. It's complicated what just happened. And so maybe not right now tonight after the thing, but first thing tomorrow, reach out and we'll be in contact to help guide you through what just happened and talk to you about the process in the future if you want to go extended for what that would entail from us, okay? All right. Is that it for permits tonight? I believe so. All right. The final agenda item is commissioner comments and questions.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Yeah, nothing going on this month?
We got a lot going on. We got the JP Morgan Healthcare Conference.
There'll be
a lot of events going on with that. We have a
new mayor.
New mayor tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, there's a new
All Star weekend happening next month, February.
Yeah, I'm doing a party for that.
Yeah,
it's gonna be good.
We were in Rolling Stone magazine,
so
guys.
Oh yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, we put the article in your folder.
Well, oh, yeah, I saw
Ellen
that.
Did. Yeah. Thankfully,
and people were named by name. I believe.
Great quote.
What was that?
There were people. You by name in Rolling Stone.
Woo, I always knew you'd be Ben Van Houten.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Both of you always thought you'd be in Rolling Stone. I'm not sure as the exact reason it was.
Yeah. You made it though.
We made it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. Is there a public comment on our final agenda item?
No public comment.
All right. Public comment's closed. The meeting is adjourned at 7:05 p.m.
I have a question off the record. Does anybody know the best way to get